We have come to the beginning of a new year. A new year in our liturgical calendar, a year that begins each year on the first Sunday of Advent. We've completed that cycle of the events of our salvation history and brought us back to the beginning. But what I find interesting is on this Sunday, we are looking ahead. We're looking ahead to that time when Jesus will come in glory, when all of history will find its consummation, when all of creation will be redeemed, when Jesus comes in glory to reign for eternity, and when Jesus comes as judge. Now, throughout centuries, probably millennia, Christians have tried, at least in some places and times, to discern when this might happen. What are those signs we see out in the world around us? What do we see in creation? What do we see in geopolitics? Maybe we can predict the time when Jesus will come. Some groups have even dared to proclaim an actual day, an hour. And yet it doesn't seem it's happened. Now, other Christians tend to ignore those kinds of predictions, maybe even see them as silly, and just go about business as usual. In today's gospel, Jesus basically tells us not to worry about that. Don't try to figure it out, because only the Father knows. Even Jesus doesn't know when this will happen, not the angels, not Jesus. When the time is right, it will happen. But in the meantime, we are all called to wait expectantly until that moment arrives. And so Jesus in today's gospel warns us not to be about business as usual, but to be ready, to be watching. We hear about the story of Noah and the events of Noah's day, how Noah builds an ark because he understands what God is doing and there's a great flood coming, but how most people ignored it. They went about business as usual. We hear in the gospel that they were eating and drinking and they were marrying. They just kept going as if everything was fine. But then the rains came, and only those on the ark are saved. Only those on the ark endure that calamity. So for those who understood, who could hear the call from God, who were prepared and who acted, only those were the ones who were saved from that catastrophe. And so like them, we're called not to be about the busyness of everyday life, oblivious to what is happening, but instead to be prepared, to live awake, to live watching, to be ready. It can be difficult, I think, to sustain hope, to be expectant, when we don't know exactly what will happen and when it will happen. Perhaps you find that in your own life. It can be hard to hold on to hope when we don't know if a thing will even come to pass, or certainly when it will. That was certainly true for Matthew's community. We're hearing from Matthew's gospel in this liturgical year, and some of his time thought that they would see the return of Jesus before they all had died. But that didn't happen. And so how do we hold on to hope? How do we live in that expectation when we don't know when the fullness of things will come? This part of Matthew's gospel is sometimes called the apocalyptic discourse, and some read into it a blueprint of God will do these steps, and then the end will come. But Jesus has already told us no one knows that. And I think these writings are not about trying to live out that blueprint to discern the secrets of God, but instead they are a call to encourage us, that we are to remain faithful whatever happens, even in the midst of great calamities, that we are to be watching and expectant. And so these writings from Matthew offer us the opportunity to understand what we are called to do while we wait. How are we called to live until Jesus returns? And certainly these writings were to support the disciples, those first followers of Jesus, during difficult times, times of calamity, even persecution. Times when the world just seemed to be a great mess with no sign of getting better. And so Jesus in Matthew is teaching that waiting is active. It's not passive. It's not just accepting whatever comes. But instead, it's characterized by hope, by not giving into the despair that is around us. And it's an opportunity for mission, to go about daily life, but to do it rooted in the kingdom. to do those things that Jesus would have us do even as we do the ordinary tasks of life. For the reality is, though we wait, we already live in the victory that God has won through Jesus. Jesus, through the power of the cross, through his death and resurrection, has broken the power of sin and evil, and we are baptized into that reality. But the fullness of God's kingdom has not yet been ushered in. It's not here fully and completely. That consummation of history, of a great redeemed creation, of a new age, has not happened yet. And so we live in that in-between. And we are called not to lose heart, to not give up hope, though even if hope might seem far away. We're called not to give in to doubt, but instead, we're called to find God at work in those ordinary times of life, at work in our lives, at work in the world around us, to not be lost in apathy or blind as those in Noah's day were, but to see, to understand, to be prepared. Jesus uses that image of the thief. If we knew a thief was coming in the middle of the night, we wouldn't be asleep. We'd be awake. We'd be vigilant. We'd be ready. And then the thief would not break into our house. Now, I have to say, that's not necessarily the most positive image. It's actually a little scary to think about. But it suggests that urgency of staying awake, of watching. Something will happen. Be prepared. So we're called to live asking the question, what do we want Jesus to find us doing when we return? The gospel also has that section which some understand as referring to the rapture, how some will be taken. There'll be two people. One will be taken away. We don't know exactly what that might mean, because remember, this is not a literal blueprint. But in the Greek, that verb that is translated as taken actually means redeemed from danger. And so I think that that may suggest something about what we're being told here, that those who are prepared, who are faithful, will be the ones who will be redeemed from danger, who will be kept safe even in the midst of great calamity. I don't know if there'll be a time when one will be whisked away to the kingdom, but what is sure is that we will be safe in God if we trust God at God's word and if we are faithful in living as God would have us live. And so I think this Advent season offers us a great opportunity. It is a time when we can seek to live intentionally, to reconnect to the hope that is within us, to begin this new year being expectant, to waiting actively until that time when Jesus returns and all things are fulfilled. It is that time to live as the gospel calls us to live making real in the present the kingdom of God. It's that time to be ready to be aware of and receive the blessings God would shower upon us, and then in turn to be a blessing for those around us. It's that time to bring the good news of Jesus, that promise of hope in the midst of difficulty, to bring that good news to all who despair, those who mourn, those who are hungry and lost, those who are oppressed and persecuted. Living in this in-between time, in this Advent, is the time to stand up to the evils of this age, to challenge the injustice around us, to continue to work for the inclusion of all people, and to embody that love of God, which is so freely given us. And so we are called in this Advent to be intentional, to be listening, to have some space for quiet, and to not lose heart, to not give up hope, and not succumb to apathy. In our epistle today, Paul is writing to the Romans. It's also echoed in our collect of the day. And he says to cast off the works of darkness, because the night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're supposed to cast off those things which cause us to not be prepared, to not be ready. This baptismal language here about casting off the old life, the ways of the world, and putting on the life of Christ, about casting off evil and living as those baptized into the identity of Jesus, to cast off the night for the day is at hand, and to wrap ourselves in the armor of light. What a beautiful image, that armor of light that protects us from the dangers of this world and is a beacon to all who hunger and thirst. For that light that we are wrapped in is none other than Jesus, who is the light of the world. And there's that promise in John's prologue that the light coming into the world will not be overcome. It is stronger than the powers of this world. And so we're called to walk in that light, a light that overcomes the darkness of despair, a light that draws us out of the shadows of apathy, a light so strong that no evil, no power can overcome it. I read in the past few days on Facebook how some have been struggling about how do we keep Advent in this time. Some find this time of uncertainty, of division in our nation to be so challenging, they're not sure how we live in Advent time. They have said how it's a time when so many seem fearful, when people have lost hope, a time when some seem apathetic and disengaged. Others see a time when the challenges before us seem so great. But I would suggest Advent is exactly what we need. For Advent asserts, it reminds us how the truth is the evil powers of this age will not hold sway forever. How one day God's kingdom will triumph over all that separates us from God. For our hope is placed in the one born a helpless, poor, and homeless boy who became a refugee, who died on the cross after suffering horribly, and who was raised on the third day, whose death and resurrection destroyed the powers of sin and evil forever, whose love triumphed over those powers that would keep us from the love of God. And then those first followers, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, went forth to transform the face of the earth. And so we live in that hope. We live empowered by that same Spirit, that we can go forth offering hope, offering that promise of redemption, offering that reality that Jesus desires us to be brought into the fullness of his kingdom. And so during this holy season of Advent, let us lay claim to this light. Let us clothe ourselves, putting on the armor of this light, committing to walk by it even as we live in the ordinariness of our daily lives, that we might share this light of God's love with everyone, that we might allow this light to illumine our paths, that we even see by this light, directing us and guiding us, as we are attentive to the activity of God, to God who is present in our daily lives, to God who would gather us into the fullness of God's kingdom. And so may we be ready to receive that coming of God, as God happens to be present to us moment by moment, and also at the end of time. And then to go forth to be a presence of God to others, that all may come to know and worship God and come to the fullness of God's kingdom when Jesus returns in glory. Christopher Weber has written a book of daily Advent meditations called Love Came Down, Anglican Readings for Advent and Christmas. And at the very opening of that collection, before the meditation for today, he offers what he calls the Advent Collect, paraphrased as a sonnet. I'll close with his words. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, come in the silence of our human night and give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness. From eternal day, now send to us the armor of your light. In this brief mortal life, protect and guard your people whom, in great humility, our Savior Christ once visited, that when on the last day in glorious majesty to judge the quick and the dead, he comes again. We, from our earthbound weaknesses, may rise to immortal life, unending days, through him whose life in Trinity supplies now and forever your eternal praise. Amen. Amen.